Fox News.
Those on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio.
About to commence.
Yeah, good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, and Carl and Linda Bott, 7:05 in the morning, November 16th. Are you waking up to my dulcet tones? Are you starting to roll over in the bed thinking, oh my God, is this the way to start the day off, listening to a Marine getting everybody up? Well, of course it is. Hey, our phone line's here at 530-605-4567. And we are streaming live on KCNR1460.com. And you can, once you know, you hop onto that, just get on your computer, and then you can join our chat pack and say hello. We have our regular chat pack. They meet for breakfast, but anybody is invited. The only thing you have to do is be civil. And that's kind of like I was hoping that we would be seen in our political arena this coming year, but I don't think that's going to happen already. I can see that. Always joined in the morning by Bad Bob.
And good morning. Yeah, good luck with that civility thing when it comes to politics. Well, red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. If you look to the east, looks like there is, in fact, a change in our weather, as is often expected this time of year. May I go into detail, sir?
Well, you may.
Mostly sunny today, a high near 64, and then by tonight, a 30% chance of rain, depending on where you're at. And then rain is likely on Thursday, not a whole lot, and then mostly cloudy late in the day, and showers likely throughout the weekend. Currently, we have 47 degrees downtown, and as always, this weather report brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
Anselmo Vineyards, that's right. Just a short drive north of Palisadro, and they have a holiday this weekend. And for music, 474-5546. You know, somebody called in yesterday. It was really interesting. You know, we don't know everybody that, of course, that calls in, you know, or is on in the chat room or listens, of course. And then, but somebody called in and had said that we had met during a golf tournament, which I remembered, and he's absolutely right. And he said they went out there to Anselmo's and just, you know, so out of the blue called and said what a great time they had. And you can have a great time out there. Linda is on assignment this morning. I think she's on the same assignment I had when I got hit with this, whatever it was, over the weekend, flu-like symptoms, but I'm back, but she is fighting it, and we'll be back tomorrow morning. But today, we've got a great show. Valerie Miller's coming in, talking about what's happening in the Cascade. Sheriff Tomasenko is here, and, you know, we want to talk with the sheriff about, of course, what realignment, what's going on with this uptick in violence around here. But also, the Defend Rural America's 10 sheriffs, North County sheriffs, or North State sheriffs, and Southern Oregon sheriffs got together for this big meeting they had up in Yreka, and I want to get the sheriff's take on it. Of course, the Record Searchlight says, well, what are the, you know, talking about the sheriff from Yreka up in you know, that county, it was that he had taken sides. Well, I'm not sure that the sheriff shouldn't take sides on the side of his constituents and the side of the people that have elected him. I see no problem with that. But I want to talk to Sheriff Pasenko about it and get his take on it because, you know, Tom is level-headed and doesn't get, you know, stampeded into things. Also, we're going to talk about what happened last night with the banning. I think that's the right word. Is that the right word, Bad Bob? Banning?
I did not catch the news story. I had other things going on, unfortunately. But
Bans pot collectives.
Geez, that's about 30-point type in the front
of
the paper.
Yeah, you know what? You don't miss that one. You know, the only thing bigger than that is when they say that there's cats found underneath a truck, abandoned. The only thing I saw bigger than that. But city bans pot collectives. And not only that, the Record Searchlight took a shot at Channel 7. Are you ready for this? We'll get into that when we come back, too. But first, we're going to go see Chris Lesondak at the Wells Fargo Advisor for the Market Minute. Hey, Chris, good morning. What's going on in the land of big bucks?
Good morning, Carl. Well, after about 30 minutes of trading into today's session, the markets are in negative territory.
where currently the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 129 points at 11,966. The S&P 500 down 12 points at 1245, while the NASDAQ Composite's off 23 points at 2663. Volume on the New York Stock Exchange is 117 million shares. Looking at some of the more active issues on the New York Stock Exchange this morning, Bank of America down 8 cents at $6.06. Ford is off 17 cents at $10.71. General Electric down 14 cents at $16.06, while AT&T is off 23 cents at $29.02 a share. Of local interest, PG&E down 40 cents at $39.51. Safeway is off 23 cents at $19.58. And Tri-Counties Bank up 15 cents at $14.74. In the bond market, the 10-year U.S. government bond is priced to yield 2.02%, while the 2-year Treasury is yielding 0.25%. Oil's up $2.24 a barrel at $101.61, and precious metals are lower, with gold down $24.80 an ounce at $17.56.20, while silver's down 76 cents an ounce at $33.76. This is Chris Lasondek at the Reading Office of Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Hey, Chris, thanks a lot. You know, we have the Wells Fargo Advisor with the Market Minute at 7:08, 8:08, and 9:06 in the morning, and then again in the afternoon, so we can figure out what's going on back on the East Coast. What's going on in the market in it? You know what? Things we hear that just isn't going real well all the time. And I think oil went over $100 a barrel today. So let's see what kind of changes that'll have for you. Hey, Carl Lindebot. KCNR 14.6, this is Free Fire Radio. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the banning pot collectives right here in River City and a number of other things that impact in our city, including some possibly really good news. And did Channel 7 ask people to move and move toward the city hall for a shot last night? And really, does it make any difference? Miss a day, miss a lot.
I love your new place. It's so stylish.
Okay, I'll let you in on a little secret. I get all my furniture at the Home Consignment Depot.
Really? This dining set? The entertainment center? The sofa?
Yeah, and all the accessories and art, too.
The Home Consignment Depot? Where are they located?
They're at 1313 Hartnell Avenue, between Churn Creek and Victor. You know, next to Tile City. They've got quality furniture for the home and office at prices you can afford. It's definitely the spot to shop for furniture, with new arrivals daily. And they offer an excellent consignment service.
Consignment? How does it work?
It's easy. They sell your quality furniture and send you a check. I received more for mine than if I sold it myself, without the hassles and costs of running an ad.
They sell your quality furniture and accessories and send you the check?
Right. They also offer a pickup and delivery service. They accept all forms of payment and they're open 7 days a week.
That's good to know.
If I were you, I'd visit their showroom today or call 722-0635, the Home Consignment Depot. It's definitely the spot to shop.
1313 Hartnell Avenue, between Churn Creek and Victor, or call 722-0635.
He drove his car to the shop, slammed on the brakes, and yelled, "You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed." Don Steck, Coachmaster, Collision Repair. His car had been repaired after a collision, but now it had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently to one side or the other, and he never knew when it would occur. He was at wit's end. He had taken the car back multiple times to the shop that repaired it. It was test-driven 8 times. I walked around the car and could see evidence of a side impact, which gave me a clue to the problem. "I think I know what's wrong," I said. I put the car on the frame rack and compared its dimensions to a blueprint. As I suspected, the unibody was bent through the center of the vehicle. A test drive is an opinion. A blueprint is a fact. This vehicle should have been blueprinted before the repair. And no, the car was not possessed. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio.
Giving dollar bills away. But I laid around a bit, and I had another hit. Then I wrote myself a bomber, then I thought about my mama. Then I fooled around, played around, jacked around a while in the end.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Got stoned and I missed it. Yeah, we're going to talk about marijuana collectives. Bad Bob, you're just bad. You know what? You're bad. Come back
in. I can't
in.
Help myself.
I know. What can I say? Last night, the Redding City Council unanimously voted Tuesday evening to ban cannabis collectives by December 1st. And, you know, they had that state appellate court decision in October striking down a medical marijuana permit system they had in Long Beach, and Redding is maybe the first city in California to impose such a ban. As you can probably imagine, it's led to a lot of, you know, consternation among the 16 cannabis dispensaries here in town who's vowed to stay open. At least some of them do. The problem is that the feds are also sending out letters saying, look, if you're going to have like an illegal cannabis dispensary in your building, we're going to seize it. And the city council, and this is what I didn't realize too, is that the feds can also go after public officials for allowing collectives to continue in violation of a federal law. This is what Duvernay said. And Redding's going to likely need the ban until state and federal government finally decide the status of medical marijuana. Well, that ought to be, you know, you would think something like that would happen. That, you know, one's going to do something, and there, here comes the other. Now we talk state rights. If a state wants to do something, at what point in the federal government does the federal government have the right to come in and impose its will on them? Let's go to the phones here. Stan Staham. Stan, good morning.
Yeah, hi. How are you, gentlemen?
Well, we're fine. And Stan, you know, Stan was a former city council member here, an assembly member from our district. How are you doing, Stan?
You know, it's interesting because I guess that was really a hot meeting last night, and everybody decided to vote no on that because the state and the feds, you know, they make things so confusing. It's like they're on cannabis sativa or something like that. You know, marijuana, I remember from the 60s, it was always thought of as bad. Now it kind of has two good sides. You know, it's good if you need it to, in order to battle cancer, and it's really bad if that moves you on the way to a tie-dye shirt and cocaine. What are you going to do? You know, I actually had a bill way back in 1985 when I was a California assemblyman that actually required that marijuana sales, if they are legal, be taxed. And unfortunately, that bill failed at that time. Would have been really interesting to know how much that would have brought in to help balance the budget today. But now we've got to better regulate marijuana, whether it's here or anywhere else in California. It's a strange situation.
Well, it is, because the you know, the citizens voted for the 215 to be able to have people have access to medicinal marijuana, sort of to help with their different maladies. And but since then, it appears that some people have seen ways around that 215, and then 240, I think, is the other one about growing it, and be able to actually make a huge profit on it. And we've had a lot of the land out here, you know, Trinity County up around Hayfork and a lot of other areas, taken over by cannabis plantations. A lot of you know, destruction of property, people being scared. It's just a rough area in a lot of these places.
You know, just a couple of months ago, I was at my mountain cabin, my home in Shasta County, and I spent practically every night, and well, not every night, but every weekend I spend up there. And I talked to all my friends on the city council, you know, like Rick Bassetti. As a matter of fact, we had talked more than a month ago. If Rick is able to be successful and come to the California Assembly, one of the things he wanted to do was properly regulate marijuana so cities and counties wouldn't have this struggle about what to do with it and how to manage it. It's a total mess. Matter of fact, I'm at my mountain home there in Shasta County, and I suddenly get this call, a reverse 911 call, because they're looking for some felons that have escaped, and they're growing marijuana up there by good old Oak Run. I mean, you know, what's happening to us all anyway?
Well, I think that's one of the things that has led to this is, you know, the feds took a look at it and said, okay, California, you want to grow your marijuana and, you know, for people, that's fine. But what it's entailed from everything I've read, and if you listen to the law enforcement, we're going to have Sheriff Pacinco on later on, is a lot of the gangs have taken the marijuana plantations out of the national forest where they were destroying that, and they're buying the property or they're leasing property to grow all the marijuana down here where it's, you know, quote, legal. And then using that to make a huge profit when they sell it throughout the rest of the United States where it's not legal, but it's still not legal here, but it is kind of legal.
Yeah, that is so correct. I mean, it's not legal, but it's legal. And, of course, the federal government not clearing it up, and then the state government not clearing it up. And I was so glad last night that the vote was unanimous at the Redding City Council, both Rick Bassetti, who's trying to come to the assembly, and I hope he makes it. I mean, I'm going to vote for him. But I'm glad that they voted down the whole thing so that clarification can be made before they decide how to regulate it and regulate it properly.
Well, I think that Missy MacArthur hit the nail on the head. And she said, the feds, you know, this is like children of a divorce. The feds are the father, the state is the mother, and we are caught in the middle. And unfortunately for the collectives, the father has the rule of the land, and that's true. Hey, Stan, thank you so much for your phone call.
Nice talking to you guys again. Maybe I'll talk to you from time to time when trouble brews.
Well, you know, give us
love for you to stop by, Stan. Haven't seen you for a while.
Yeah, that was bad Bob Belongi there.
And thanks, gentlemen.
I mean, we need you to stop by and say hello.
I'll do it. Count on it.
All right.
Have a nice day.
All right. Thank you very much. Hey, we got to take a quick break here. We come back, I want to finish up a little bit on that. But then I want to talk about, you know, there's some other things are going on out at City of Shasta Lake. But also the good news is that maybe we're moving forward with the movie production. And then the Martinez trial is going on. And, in fact, the prosecutors have already rested their case. So we're going to talk about that when we get back to 7:30. We've got Valerie Ng coming in talking about, you know, what's going on at the Cascade, and then, of course, Sheriff Tom Basenko. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Well, you know, I used to have them just about all the time, but I found a way to get out of them. Let me tell you about it.
This is a special announcement. You can bring in this new year with Anselmo Vineyards at their elegant Black Tie Gala. Join us for an evening of fine dining, dancing, and casino royale. Truly a once-in-a-lifetime celebration. Need transportation? Package includes round-trip travel from the Red Lion Hotel, plus hors d'oeuvres and a wine reception at beautiful Anselmo Vineyards upon your arrival. A spectacular six-course meal paired with exquisite wines from our world-renowned chef. Door prizes, a silent auction, casino tables, and did I mention the 18-piece orchestra for your dancing pleasure? Truly the party of the year. To reserve your seat for this special New Year's Eve event, call 474-5546. That's 474-5546. And dance in the new year. Reserve early. First 100 attendees will get the special price of $195 per person. Imagine celebrating New Year's Eve in the most beautiful setting in the North State, Anselmo Vineyards. To make your memory at the Gala of the Year, that's 474-5546, Anselmo Vineyards.
You want to go to Wind River, but you don't want to miss the game. We know that. That's why we gave you the best of both worlds with our recently opened Overtime Sports Bar and Lounge. Now between bingo and blackjack, you can grab a bite and check out the game at Overtime Sports Bar and Lounge. We've got everything you need to be the entertainment guru for your group. Starting with the Early Bird Happy Hour from 4 to 6. Sports on TV all day long. Now, we didn't forget about the ladies. Overtime Sports Bar and Grill has a kickin' DJ. So while you're having a frosty cold one, she can boot scoot and boogie all night long. Don't worry, guys, you can still see the TVs from the dance floor. Sunday games are back and more awesome than ever. A cut above the rest with a player in mind. Be one of the few privileged to catch your favorite team every Sunday in Overtime Sports Bar and Lounge and in the River's Edge Poker Room. Never miss another play. Sunday games at Wind River Casino. Log on to WindRiver.com. Check us out on Facebook. It's better on the river.
Theodore Roosevelt once said, "The highest form of success comes not to the man who desires a mere easy peace, but to the man who does not shrink from danger, from hardship, or from bitter toil, and who, out of these, wins the splendid ultimate triumph." Our success in life depends on the words we choose to live by, and even Mark Twain considered Theodore Roosevelt to be straightforward and sincere. This summer, Five Star Bank has been recognized as the Small Business Administration Lender of the Year for the 21 counties of the Great North Valley. Five Star Bank specializes in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star can be counted on to be at the forefront helping entrepreneurs build their business and create jobs. Believe in Five Star Bank. Smart people doing good business. If your time is as valuable as your success, visit us at Five Star Bank. Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call 223-6652. Online, fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl and the Bot. Linda's on assignment this morning, 7:25 in the morning. It is November the 16th. Phone lines here at 530-605-4567. Hey, somebody pick up a phone and call me here. I want to talk about the Martinez case here. It looks, seems like the prosecutors rested their case Tuesday in the involuntary manslaughter trial of Lynette Christian Shellman, and only hours after it began. And of course, the whole thing is this, is that Martinez and Shellman, am I pronouncing that right, Shellman, were in a bar, I think it was a Club Ice back then, and Shellman says that he thought his girlfriend was being unduly harassed by Martinez. And Shellman's date was Kathy Willoughby. He went up, he hit him. There's nobody arguing that. He went up and hit him. Martinez went down, hit his head on the concrete, I believe, was unconscious, was taken to the hospital, intensive care, taken out of intensive care, and then died after that. Nobody is saying that Shellman did not hit Martinez. The question is did he have a plausible cause to come up on the side and hit Martinez? And under the last district attorney Jerry Bonito says no, he didn't. They looked at it, they put it out to other law enforcement officials, they took it out to the grand jury that was there unofficially and had them look at it, and everybody, they were split down the middle. Would this be a conviction? Is this something they could do? Well, he decided not to prosecute this case. This was one of the huge cases that came up. This one and the death of a young girl from drinking and the prosecution of the girl that was with her. This came up and had a significant impact on the Bonito election of him being turned out of office. Anyway, this is going on now. I think we've got somebody on the phone that's been there or at least been watching the trial. John, good morning.
Good morning. Carl, how are you this morning?
John, I'm peachy.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things I think I'll talk about for a minute here. First of all, I went to that city council meeting last night.
How was that?
I stayed for about 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
I've never seen the place more full. I mean, it had, I would say, I'm estimating 350 to 400 people and a capacity of 200. And it was overflowing. They were coming out the front of it. And it stunk. I mean, it smelled like pot, no question about that, but the body odor was disgusting. They're going to have to fumigate the entire city council area there.
John, that's not like you to... that must have been serious.
It was nasty. It was nasty. I walked into the chamber, and it was so impacted. They had the front area where the staff, in front of where the staff sits, with about 30 people in there. I mean, it was overwhelming. It was a circus. And it smelled bad. And this sergeant came up to me. He said, excuse me, John, you can't stand right here. I said, don't worry. I'm out of here. And I turned around and left. There is nothing that could have taken place there that I wanted to see bad enough to put up with that. And I felt, if I was a city councilman, I would have taken the night off.
Well,
not to duck the vote, to get away from the smell.
My gosh, that's, I've never heard of that one before.
Well, it was nasty. Anyway, onwards and upwards. The Shellman trial yesterday went pretty well, I thought. There was a surprise witness. They brought in a junior from high school that was a friend of the girlfriend, Willoughby's son, who stated that he had been to the Willoughby home when Adam Martinez was in the home visiting with Kathy Willoughby. And that they had gone to his basketball games together.
Oh.
Now this to me, I had heard rumors that they knew each other before,
uh-huh.
But this certainly changes the complexion of the relationship.
Yeah, that is different.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
I know.
So they're saying is that there was a prior relationship of some kind, at least between Willoughby and, hey, John, we've got to take a news break. You want to hang on?
Sure, I'll hang.
All right. Hey, this is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio. We're talking about the Martinez trial, and was there a relationship between Willoughby and Martinez before he was killed by a punch by Shellman? Miss a day, miss a lot.
Business Network. Concerns over the European debt crisis are sparking a sell-off for the markets. At 10 a.m. Eastern, the Dow is down almost triple digits. But there is a glimmer of green on Wall Street. Target shares are on the rise following better-than-expected third-quarter results. The discount retailer posted a profit jump of 3.7% as same-store sales climbed higher. Target also issued an upbeat forecast for the all-important holiday shopping season quarter, despite a slow economic recovery. Oil is also on the rise as it tops $100 a barrel for the first time since July. The last time it closed above $100 was on June 9th. And we've got the latest reading on retail inflation. Consumer prices fell in October for the first time in 4 months. Driven by a steep drop in gasoline prices, the index was down 0.1% last month. The estimate was for prices to remain unchanged. Stripping away the volatile food and energy costs, the core CPI posted a slight increase. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Diane Macedo.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the teeming rains of India, nor the snows of Kilimanjaro, nor the glare of the paparazzi at a Hollywood opening can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
Come see what the big deal is at the Mount Shasta Mall. You have enough to plan for this holiday season without surfing the internet and driving long distances just to get your shopping done. The Mount Shasta Mall has over 80 specialty stores, restaurants, and services where you can find unique and stylish options for everything on your list. Serving a big meal? Find festive table linens. Chopping down a big tree? You'll need tough gloves and toasty coats. With stores like Macy's, Old Navy, JCPenney, and Sears, you'll find all the biggest deals right here in town. You owe it to yourself to shop the Mount Shasta Mall. Santa Claus is coming to town early, Saturday, November 19th at 5 p.m. during a musical performance in Center Court featuring Linda Bott and the first snowfall of the season. Family entertainment and crafts for the kids from 5 to 8 p.m. And the charity Trail of Trees kicks off throughout the mall. Join 7 local nonprofits as they provide for needy children in Shasta County through this charitable holiday drive.
What is excellence? What is professionalism? What is a quality windshield repair? At Crackmaster, you will see the difference. Crackmaster has been serving the North State for over 18 years. From rock chips to cracks, a quality repair done right saves time and money. Crackmaster is the leader in windshield repair, and with an experienced, specialized approach, Crackmaster performs to the industry standards. You have a choice. Crackmaster, 241-8373, 241-8373.
This is Free Fire Radio with your hosts, Carl and Linda Vaught.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 on the Free Fire Media and Carl and the Bot. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567. We're chatting and streaming at KCNR1460.com, 7:33 in the morning, November the 16th. My gosh, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. They're having big sales this month on different types of coffee, drinks at Espresso Joe's. You can get some really great gifts for the house and for the, you know, for the party season. And of course, the finest cigars over there in the best humidor in the state. And they're selling a special brand of two cigars that it's for a, to raise money for children. And they have a limited number of them. Just go down and ask if you want to help out on the Children's Fund. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. They have also discounts for veterans, and they take care of you when you're in there. Joe and Shelley do a great job in their store and in supporting this community. All right, John, welcome
hey,
back.
Yeah.
Okay, we want to finish up this loop, you know, in this segment of what you've seen. And from what I understand, it was not really a secret that that Kathy Willoughby and
Adam Martinez
and Anna Martinez had known each other beforehand.
Exactly, and which changes the complexion of this case a good bit, because it takes it more into the realm of jealousy and our overreaction, not be and if you listen to the testimony wherein the police officer said the first things that Shaman said was that he had punched Martinez because he was, quote, talking to his girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
Not touching her, not inappropriateness. And if you see the video and you watch it, there's a whole bunch of twists and turns that the defense attorney is trying to make, like Adam bringing up his hands and everything else. When he got hit, his hands, one hand was in his pocket and the other one was at his side. I mean, this thing was a totally unwarranted attack, and I believe that the jury is going to find him guilty. And the reason I say that is when you see the video, especially the enhanced version that they show it and slow it down and take it step by step and even the still photos, you can't deny what took place.
Well, you know, the thing that I was kind of surprised about, and again, the only thing I know is from what I see in the papers, and it was that Kathy Willoughby, I thought the night that it happened and after they had a chance to, when they asked her the questions, that she said that she had felt in danger, yet in the paper it said that she doesn't remember the incident.
Well, in the beginning of it, she told the police that Adam had done absolutely nothing that upset her.
Uh-huh.
And the video shows that pretty clearly. I mean, she's shaking her head and laughing.
Yeah, she said that she did not recall the circumstances of the incident because she was drunk.
She was loud.
Now, the other thing, though, is that, and according to Benito, and if I'm remembering this right, is that it was the fact that you as the person, you know, that goes to defend somebody just have to believe that they're in danger.
Well, if anybody watches that video feels that Kathy Willoughby was in danger, I would like to talk to him because it's not apparent to me.
Well, it's a terrible tragedy any way you look at it.
It is,
and it just is. It's something that happened when people were drinking. It happened. I'm absolutely convinced nobody. I'm convinced that he didn't want to kill Martinez.
But it was a cheap shot.
It was
an intended cheap shot.
Yeah,
and that's probably the most despicable part of the whole thing. I mean, other than the fact that Adam died, which is really,
it's a tragedy
of this thing. But he did this with the intent of impressing people, not with the intent of.
I wonder if he has a history of doing
he
this.
He does indeed. I mean, you know, all over the blogs it's posted, although Gazzigli says there's absolutely no history, but it appears that there is.
Well, if there's no history, I mean, except blogs, I mean, if you're going to start believing blogs, then we're really in trouble.
I know. Hey, listen, I got one other thing to say before I get off the phone.
Okay, because we have Valerie Ng Miller here.
This is going to take 10 seconds. I love Valerie Ng Miller on your show.
We all do.
She's fabulous.
Yeah, she's looking great.
Okay, now, the new CBS poll shows a four-way tie in the Iowa caucuses, which is the biggest caucus that they have each year, each election year. And the new four-way tie is... wait for it.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Representative Ron Paul joining Mitt Romney, Newt Gingrich, and Herman Cain at the top tier of candidates. He's within 1 point of the top, which is Cain at 20 points. He's at 19, and everybody else, including Gingrich and Romney, are below Ron Paul. He's in second place and moving up, and Cain's about to fall out. So guess what? Ron Paul is electable. He is a winner, and we're going to go with it. Okay?
You know, I read... I've never been able to figure out who you're behind. John. Okay, John, hey, thanks a lot.
Have a great day, Carl.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Okay, that was just kind of comments on the Martinez trial, and which is, of course, it's had a huge impact here in the city on this, and it is. It's such a tragedy, and here it is right before Christmas time again going through this. But there's got to be closure, and I imagine that will happen here in the next week or two. Prosecution has rested its case. But... We're going to take a quick break because when we come back, we've got other things we want to talk about with Valerie Ng Miller about what's happening at the Cascade. I want to get her ideas, too, about, you know, possibility of a movie studio coming here to town. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, 7:39 in the morning, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
She's good in the street. I said, hey, what is this? Now, baby, maybe she's been needing all the kids. I said, hey, what's your name, baby? Maybe we can keep it the same. Now, don't you wait, oh.
bought here. Join me Thursday nights right here on KCNR 1460. We talk about fun, fashion, what's hot and what's not. We talk to authors, musicians, and it's all live. We cover entertainment in the North State. Find out what's going on right here on the spot with Linda Bott. Brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, Cars, California Auto Repair and Smog, and Prestige Gifts. See you Thursday, 6 p.m., right here on KCNR 1460.
Joining the revolution at Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms is here to provide the finest names in weapons, ammunition, optics, and accessories. We also offer repairs and custom gunsmithing. Bastiani Arms is pleased to announce that we now have in stock the best and largest selection of off-list AR low receivers in the North State. Looking for instruction in hunter safety, concealed carry, or Florida's concealed carry class? Bastiani Arms provides the finest instruction with our NRA-trained instructors. Come check out our in-store product and enjoy the friendly, helpful, and knowledgeable service you'll get with each and every visit. Don't forget to ask Bastiani Arms about their 90-day layaway for your convenience. If you want the best in weapons, service, and shooting supplies, then Bastiani Arms should be your first stop. Satisfaction guaranteed. Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur Lane, open Tuesdays through Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Or call us at 222-8222.
Hey, this is Ernie and Dave with Let's Sell It.
Yeehaw! If you have something you no longer need and having a yard sale, garage sale, or event, join us for Let's Sell It with Ernie and Dave, your radio flea market, every Saturday, 7 to 8 a.m., right here at KCNR 1460 a.m. There is no cost to you. That's right. Recycle your no longer needed items.
Yeah, get rid of it right here on the air. Give us a call Saturday mornings, 7 to 8 a.m., 605-4567.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent of Sheldon Largent Realty and the Largent team, and I would like to invite you to listen in every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 for the Kurt Largent Radio Show, where we talk about everything real estate. It's well established that amateur hour is over. It's time for professional. You deserve the best. You deserve a superstar. So listen in every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 for the Kurt Largent Radio Show, where we answer all of your real estate questions. Brought to you by Jeter Built Construction, Pete Metz at Megastar Mortgage, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460. 530-605-4567.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Home of Free Fire Meeting, Carl Lindebach. 7:43 in the morning, November the 16th. It's 45 degrees out there. We're going to have a decent day today, isn't that right, Bad Bob?
Yes, as a matter of fact, enjoy the sunshine a little bit that we get this morning while you get it. By midday, we'll see a lot more clouds coming in. And then by tonight, chance of rain increasing and rain likely tomorrow. High today near 64, the overnight low in the mid-40s. And then tomorrow's high, just under 60 degrees. We are currently showing at our downtown KCNR studios. 43 degrees, this report brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
That's right, Anselmo Vineyards, 474-5546. Head on out there this weekend for see Holly Day and the singing and just a great time out there. And speaking of a great time, here she is, Valerie Ing Miller.
Did you see that written on a bathroom wall somewhere?
Somebody says if you want to have a good time, just talk to Valerie Ing Miller because she is always up and always happy.
Great.
Oh, it's true. Look at you just smiling and laughing here. So, and also you are the one that that espouses just the greatness of the Cascade Theater. And,
well, it's my life's mission.
Well, last night we were after going to dinner, we'd been invited out to dinner with really great people, of course, and Dr. Ray John and his beautiful wife, Maggie. Mm-hmm. And there we were, caught in the crowd from Spamalot.
Yes,
you know what?
Oh my gosh, what a
show.
We
were right in the middle of it, and I just wanted to just jump up and do my Monty Python stuff, but Linda held me down.
Run away! If I'll tell you that
flesh wound.
I'm not okay. dead yet.
Okay, if you don't know what that is, you have to watch, you know, you have to see Monty Python in this quest for the Holy Grail, and, you know, just a flesh wound. And it
yeah,
was,
and that's what it was. And that's what it was. It was a spinoff, really. Not a spinoff, really. It was kind of like ripped off from the movie. Eric Idle wrote a musical based on that. And, oh, my gosh. I mean, this is a Broadway musical. This won 3 or 4 Tonys. It's had a number of different stars, like Tim Curry as Sir Arthur, or King Arthur, and David Hyde Pierce, and a number of really great, Clay Aiken, and then they took it on the road, and we didn't have any of those original stars in the production last night, but it was probably the biggest production we've ever had in the Cascades, so big that they actually had to not do some of their set changes.
Because it was too big.
It was too big, so they pretty much did the whole play in front of one backdrop, but the lighting, and there was a live band in the orchestra pit. It was absolutely incredible, and it was perfect, and it actually is fantastic to see that we can do Broadway shows on the Cascade Theater stage, as small as it is.
Yeah.
We can do Broadway shows on that stage, and the audience loved it, very supportive, and people actually were there saying, we just really want to support Broadway productions like this because we don't want to see them disappear from Reading.
No, we don't. We don't want to see that.
And so it was really great to see that kind of turnout. It is kind of the middle of one of our busiest seasons ever. I mean, in the last couple of weeks, we've had Momix, which was another huge show of monster proportions. We had Jackson Brown and Ricky Lee Jones. And that, I'm just talking about the past. In the future, we've got probably 2 handfuls of amazing holiday shows that are coming up just in the next couple of weeks, probably the next month. It's going to be the busiest month ever.
Okay, well, give us some examples here of what we should be looking for.
Well, coming up next weekend, starting next week and the day after Thanksgiving, is a Cascade Christmas.
Okay.
And I know a lot of people thought it was disappearing because James Santos left town and went to Cirque du Soleil, and the troupe that he had put together sort of dissolved. But the people haven't gone away necessarily, just James did. There are some different players involved. Jana Leard, though, who directed The Sound of Music last year and pretty much single-handedly directed A Cascade Christmas last year, she is returning to do A Cascade Christmas this year. We're just doing it under the Cascade auspices instead of the Dance Project. So a lot of the same elements that people love, but also a lot of new stuff, totally different kind of creative energy going into it. So that's going to start for a 2-week run.
Great.
Starting next weekend. Then we've got all kinds of other great Christmas shows coming up, including my favorite, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
That's a Christmas show.
Oh, they do. They have the best Christmas album ever. It's kind of like a Zoot suit.
Okay.
A Zoot suit. They do Mr. Heatmeister. Mr. Heat Miser, I mean, that is like my favorite Christmas song ever.
Really? Well, Bad Bob's looking that up right now.
I should have brought it with me. I mean, they are an amazing, amazing band of guys. They've been here before. They've done their Christmas show here before. It's probably no band have I seen as many times as I've seen Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. This will be my 4th experience.
No, I've seen them just when they're doing the videos. And and I've never seen them live, but we're going to make an effort to see them this time, especially now after what you said, since they're a great Christmas show.
It's very energetic. It's really fun. They do all their hits, you know, like Mr. Pinstripe Suit and all that. But their Christmas songs are really upbeat, energetic. You'll be dancing in the aisles. It's really, especially for
can
people
you dance
like
in
to
the
swing
aisles?
Dance. Well, up against the wall.
Okay. I'm just wondering. I mean, I see people doing
the wall aisle.
The wall
the middle aisles we like to keep clear.
That open,
yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, that's December 6th. And then also coming up in the month of December, there's Aaron Neville. His Christmas show is coming back. What a sweet, wonderful show that is. A beautiful voice he has. And also we will be bringing back other traditional Christmas shows that people have seen before at the Cascade, including A Celtic Christmas, The Nutcracker, the Reading City Ballet is doing
you
The Nutcracker.
The Nutcracker is, I have probably seen that, 5 times?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, throughout my life here. And I've seen it at all levels.
Mm-hmm.
And the one they have here is just, it's beautiful.
It's
here.
Very elegant.
And the Celtic Christmas. I need to see that one, too. I mean, mm-hmm. there's three or four here that Linda and I are going to just go from spot to spot there.
It's really hard to choose. Also, I mean, hopefully people don't have to choose between all of them. But they're,
can
they're,
I go to all of
they're
them?
All so completely different.
They are.
You know, there's kind of the heartwarming. And there's a Thin Places. Garrett Vickers and a Thin Places is doing their Christmas show mm-hmm. again this year. That's packed with all kinds of different stuff. So pretty much something for everyone at the Cascade Theater this Christmas season. And we do have some ticket vouchers, by the way, to give away for a Cascade Christmas.
Okay. Well, after we come back from our break, we'll give away some tickets for a Cascade Christmas. And I want to talk to you about some things that are happening here in town that mm-hmm. may have an impact on the entertainment. And because, I mean, you know, we're in the entertainment industry here, whether mm-hmm. whether we admit it or not, but we are about some things that possibly could be happening right here in River City when it comes to entertainment. It's a little bit, it's exciting. So it's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. Our guest, Valerie Ng Miller from the Cascade Theater, the spokesperson, the one who obviously loves this place the way you saw it. I mean, it's great. It is 7:50 in the morning, KCNR 1460.
Shasta Regional Medical Center's Turkey Trot is coming. Trot on down to Shasta Regional Medical Center, Fleet Feet, or Shasta Family YMCA to register. Or visit ShastaRegional.com and register online. The whole family can join in on the fun at the Turkey Trot on Thanksgiving morning. There's the Diesel Horse Dash for the little gobblers 8 years and under, the 2-mile walk fun run for the entire family, and for the more serious runner, the timed 6-mile race. Register by November 15th to guarantee a sweatshirt in your size. Shasta Regional Medical Center's Couch to Turkey Trot is on. Start off your Thanksgiving Day with a family tradition the whole family will enjoy. And be sure to enter the Couch to Turkey Trot drawing for a free $500 gift certificate for a couch at Kubler's Furniture. Trot on down and register today at Shasta Regional Medical Center, Fleet Feet, or Shasta Family YMCA. All proceeds from the Turkey Trot will benefit Shasta Family YMCA, plus one mentors, Shasta Family Justice Center, and Girls on the Run. For more questions, go to ShastaRegional.com.
Furniture for life. Kubler's Furniture.
It's No November at Kubler's Furniture. Buy now and pay later with no down and no interest until February 2013 OAC. Find name brands like Broyhill or new mattress sets from Tempur-Pedic. Get your house ready for the holiday and save. Spend $999 or more and save an additional 5% when you haul and 5% for cash. And spend $999 on a dining table and chairs and receive a free rug. Spend $2,500 or more and save an additional 5% on already low prices. Guests en route for the holidays? How about a queen bed with a upholstered headboard for just $298. You need new furniture, and now you can get gorgeous furniture with the No November sale at Kubler's Furniture. No doubt, no interest until February 2013. That's No November.
Kubler's Furniture, furniture for life.
The No November sale is going on now at Kubler's Furniture, your Broyhill Showcase Gallery, 1894 Churn Creek Road in the Shasta Center. Some items exempt from sale. See store for details.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR1460.
That's
the
Big
Bad
Voodoo Daddy.
That's the Big
Bad
Voodoo Daddy.
Yeah, that's music I love. See, now, don't you just want to bust a move to that? Don't you want to just call me Heat?
7:53 in the morning, November the 16th. Yeah, I'm just busting moves all over the place here. I'm not even sure what busting a move is. I know what busting a cap is, but I'm not sure about this one.
You just busted.
That was just a button. I just busted. Kind of turned sideways there. Hey, our guest, Valerie Ng Miller, we're talking Cascade Christmas. Okay, for the first caller, you will get two tickets for a Cascade Christmas.
Yeah, you get to choose which show you want to go to. We have vouchers.
So you can go to any show you want. And first caller for Cascade Christmas, you get two of them.
Yeah, there's eight shows to choose from starting November 25th, day after Thanksgiving,
ending
December 3rd. So, okay. Also, by the way, before we move on, I wanted to let you know that there are some shows that we have that haven't hit the general public yet that we're already selling tickets to for members. And then tickets go on sale pretty soon to the general public. Some of them are already on sale to the general public, like Foreigner. We've got Foreigner coming next March. And Peter Frampton. Ooh. Did you know that? And Kenny Rogers.
I know Kenny Rogers is coming in April. The 23rd or something like that.
Yeah, March and April. You know, March and April are, so again, besides Christmas time, March and April are the busiest times of the year, and we've done it to ourselves again.
Well, you're just, just packing them in, huh?
We are.
Well, you know, you've got, it seems like you just have a really a good group of acts coming through here.
We do. We've just been getting better and better every year. You know, we've been doing this for 5 or 6 years now. And our negotiating power is getting better, to be honest with you. That's what happens.
By the way, Michael, you won the two tickets, the two vouchers, which is good for any of the of the shows. Just come on down here to 1326 Market Street and collect your tickets here. Thanks a lot for listening, and thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'll tell you that when bands, performers come to the Cascade Theater, they walk in. Jackson Browne did this. He walked in and looked at the theater and said, "This is incredible," and sat down and talked with one of our lighting stage guys for about 20 minutes, soaking up the history of the theater, because it's an amazing hall with amazing acoustics. We treat people really well, and that goes a long way, because people in the industry talk, their agents talk. And
I think they feel appreciated when they're here. You know that, you know, when they show up, that, you know, the people here are appreciative. They're not rude. They get into the music. The people that we have, you know, that go to the Cascade for these shows are very responsive.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, and that goes a long way, because if you make someone feel good about what they're doing, and they feel that they matter, and that what they're doing is having an impact on people's lives, that really leaves you with a really that feel-good feeling that lasts. And so we're starting to be able to get bigger and bigger artists coming to the Cascade. So I don't see that changing anytime in the near future.
Well, do you think, you know, and I don't want to get political here, but convention center, the civic centers, changing hands and that, and changing their schedules, do you think that's going to help the Cascade?
It will. I don't think it will hurt the Cascade at all. Who knows if it will help? That's yet to be seen, because, you know, people have great intentions, and that they can either follow through on that, or, I mean, even things that have nothing to do with their ability to run the facility may impact reality. You know, of what will really happen? Who knows? I can't really. I know that they have the best intentions in the world of running that place in the best way they know how. People's perceptions, I think, will have more to do with their success than their actual ability to run.
Well, I was thinking more in the sense that they're cutting back on the amount of time that's there. And
true.
And that's what I'm, you know, that,
true.
You know, there's more of it. If there's not as many dates that are open, can you push them over to the Cascade of groups that are coming through here?
Well, hopefully a lot of them can. I mean, I think last night having Monty Python's Spamalot showed that some of those Broadway shows, we can do them at the theater. A little bit pared down, because our stage isn't deep enough for a lot of those Broadway productions. It's a little, we had to actually, people were dressing outside in the alley. You're really,
we heard,
you didn't
go behind. We heard people, we got 2 minutes left, we heard people, you know, getting ready out there. One quick question.
Okay.
It looks like they're starting to ink a deal with this
movie studio.
Clarity Studios, but perhaps build a studio up here out at Stillwater. What do you think about that?
Fantastic.
I think that, you know, they use as an example the New Mexico type studios. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you how huge the movie industry is in New Mexico after just being down there to visit my kids. They have got movies going all the time. They have people in there all the time. It is absolutely
big. I'll say this. The economy is tough. In tough times, people need to escape. During World War II, that was one of the biggest means of escaping, was going to the movies. And it still is.
Well, the Great Depression was the golden era of movie houses.
And something else, too, is these movies are the family feel-good type movies that they're going to be making there. This isn't the kind that, as Linda calls them, the slit-your-wrist movies.
Right. Well, I got to say, no matter what kind of movies that they are, the idea that of having a studio coming into Reading,
yeah.
employing people, bringing people, because not only would it employ people here and give kind of a great shot in the arm to the economy, but it could also bring a lot of tourism here, a lot
That's
more
right.
tourism. There's a lot of great locations to
there
shoot
is.
In
They're
the North
beautiful.
State. So why not take advantage of that? Why not do that? I think it could only be a great thing.
Build a studio and they will come. Okay, our guest has been Valerie Miller. We're going to take a break for the news. We come back, Sheriff Tom Basinkle is going to be our guest. We're going to be talking realignment. We're going to be talking Defend Rural America. We're going to be talking a lot of those things. This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
And you're listening to KCNR Shasta Reading.
Fox News Radio, I'm Dave Anthony.
Our national debt is our biggest national security threat.
So Democrat Steny Hoyer is one of 147 lawmakers joining together urging Congress's super committee to go big. Republican Jim Hensarling is one of the 12 on the committee that has until next Wednesday to come up with a plan.
It is backed up with what is known as a sequester or automatic cut of essentially the same amount, $1.2 trillion.
That's if they fail, but he adds,
the bad news is, for many of us, half of that is aimed at our national security.
Yeah, half the automatic cuts would come from the Pentagon. The Go Big Coalition wants $4 trillion in deficit reduction. A Republican senator wants more answers about Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan and if she should recuse herself from hearing the big health care reform case. Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern live in Washington.
Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions wants to know how big a role the newest Supreme Court justice played in crafting the health care law. In a letter to Attorney General Eric Holder, Sessions asked if Kagan offered any opinions about the legislation during her time as Solicitor General. In that job, Kagan celebrated passage of the health care law in newly revealed emails, suggesting a bias, Sessions argues. Congressional Democrats are calling for Justice Clarence Thomas to recuse himself because of his wife's work with groups trying to repeal the law. Dave.
Jared, Friday, shots were fired near the White House, and a rifle was found.
Yesterday, police found a couple of bullets. One penetrated a window, stopped by the bulletproof glass inside. Another impacted the exterior of the White House.
They also found ammo. Fox's Wendell Goler says Secret Service is trying to connect all the dots, looking for a suspect. Chrysler got bailed out and bought out. Now it's reaching out, expanding its plant in Toledo, Ohio, creating about 1,100 new jobs, building a new Jeep SUV in that facility. Stocks down on Wall Street, 100 points earlier, now just 45, as oil rises over 100 bucks a barrel for the first time in 4 months. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
A shopping list helps you get everything you need in one trip. So what if shopping for insurance were like shopping for groceries? You still make a list to get the coverage you need in just one place. Like with a local Allstate agent. Say your list includes your car. Check. A motorcycle or RV. Check, check. Plus a boat or even a small business. Check and check. An Allstate agent makes it easy to protect it all and save. So if you're shopping for a great insurance value, well, check.
Call a California Allstate agent today and you'll also get a lifetime membership in Good Hands Roadside Assistance absolutely free. Get 24/7 access and low flat rates on everything from tows to tire changes. For your free membership kit, just call a local agent or 888-ALLSTATE today.
Shop less, get more. Make one call to an Allstate agent.
Discounts vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability.
Cleared out yesterday. Back inside today. Anti-Wall Street protesters again at that New York City park where the movement started, but this time tents are not allowed.
We're not going to sleep in the park. We're going to look for alternative places to go.
Tents are up in Berkeley, California, as Oakland protesters joined that occupation. Fox News Radio's Jessica Rosenthal is there live.
Dave, the Occupy movements around the Bay Area seem to be pulling together. Last night, Occupy Oaklanders, who were removed from their tent camp at City Hall, joined students here at UC Berkeley and applauded as they set up tents on campus.
When you bail banks out, or when you continually have a history of big corporations running the world and changing the laws because they pay politicians to do it, that's a serious problem, and people are just simply saying, come on.
Today, they're going to San Francisco to march on local banks and the state building, Dave.
Jessica, Penn State has has a new acting and athletic director, David Joyner, who wrestled and played football there, is taking over for Tim Curley, who's one of two officials charged with covering up a child sex abuse scandal. Now, one of the Penn State coaches is not talking publicly, but he's at the heart of the scandal, and he appears to be telling a different story about how a case of child sexual abuse was reported.
A friend of Penn State assistant football coach Mike McQuarrie, forwarding an email McQuarrie wrote last week saying he did stop former assistant coach Jerry Sandusky's sexual assault on a boy in the team's showers in 2002, and that he went to campus police about it. In the email, McQuarrie complains, quote, "I'm getting hammered for handling this the right way or what I thought at the time was right. I had to make tough, impacting, quick decisions. Sandusky denies raping anyone." Chris Foster, Fox News Radio.
A Missouri mother is in custody near St. Louis the day after she claimed she overslept and awoke to find her 13-month-old baby boy was gone from his crib. Little Tyler Dasher was found dead hours later. No charges have been filed against 20-year-old Shelby Dasher, but she is being held for 24 hours as police build a case. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:05 here for Free Fire Radio on November the 16th. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567. And we're chatting live and streaming on KCNR 1460. Good morning, Chat Pack. See John and Potfree Charlie and Sungold and Indie Guy and a few others on there. Potfree Charlie, I like that. Today is November the 16th. Our guest today is Sheriff Tom Basinkle.
Good morning, Carl. The days are just flying by. We'll be at Thanksgiving next week and then Christmas.
Can you believe that half of November is over already?
Wow,
What happened to September, October? No, I've got to stop whatever I'm doing, because these months are going by.
They're flying by.
But I know I'm not using the drug of choice around here. Whatever
that's
that
a good thing.
Is,
yeah.
Whatever that is. You know, Sheriff Basinkle joins us every month for if not more often, for updates. And today, before we get into something big, because we're going to go to our Wells Fargo Minute here in a few seconds, some of the subjects I wanted to talk about today was, of course, the what the city council just did on the banning of marijuana dispensaries. Get your take on that.
Right.
I want to talk about that Defend Rural America. That was up in Wairika. It had so many people there. That
I think it was 700 to 800 people.
700 to 800 people, but it also had 10 sheriffs from the North State and Southern Oregon.
Correct.
There. And I'd like to hear your take on this.
Sure.
You know, I'm hearing different things. And then I want to talk about realignment. And is there from your point of view, is there an uptick in violence? Because I saw that they were having to tase somebody the other day. I don't know how serious that one was. That was just somebody drinking.
Well, we had some tasing incidents and we've seen some stabbings in the news. And then, of course, several officer-involved shootings.
Right.
And thankfully, no officers have been killed in the line of duty as a result of those. We had one of our officers who was seriously injured.
But
we'll get to that.
We'll talk about that. And also just something just strange like vandalism. All of a sudden, vandalism, is taking on, front page news. Things are being destroyed around here, including the Veterans Center. Everyone had five of its huge big windows they had there get broken by a jerk downtown.
And thefts. If it's not nailed down, it's getting stolen just about.
Okay, well, we want to talk about
all of that.
We've got a quick show here.
A lot to put in an hour.
Have we got the Wells Fargo? Okay, we have Chris Lasondak from Wells Fargo on the line with the Market Minute. Hey, Chris, what's going on back there on the East Coast?
Well, we're a little over 90 minutes into today's trading, and the markets are still in negative territory, though we're much improved off the lows of the day. Currently, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 38 points at 12,057. The S&P 500 down 3 points at 1254, while the NASDAQ Composite is down just about 4 points at 2682. Volume on the New York Stock Exchange is 211 million shares. Looking at some of the more popular issues over on the NASDAQ, Cisco Systems unchanged at $19.11, Intel's up 2 cents at $25.36, Oracle up 4 cents at $33 even, while Apple is unchanged at $388.89. of local interest, PG&E down 28 cents at $39.62. Safeway's off a nickel at $19.76, while Tri-County's Bank is up 39 cents at $14.98 a share. In the bond market, the 10-year U.S. government bond is priced to yield 2.02%. The 2-year treasury is yielding 0.25. Crude oil is up $2.47 a barrel at $101.84, while precious metals are lower, with gold down $10.30 an ounce at $1,770.70, while silver's down 38 cents an ounce at $34.14. This is Chris Lasondak at the Reading Office of Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Hey, Chris, thanks a lot. We have our update on the Market Minute from Wells Fargo at 7:08 in the morning, 8:08, 9:06, and again in the afternoon to hear what's going on with the market and get an update on all of this. And looks like the market's starting to come back a little bit. Our guest today is Sheriff Tom Basinko, and we're going to take a quick break. We come back, we have got a number of things we want to talk to the good sheriff about, anywhere from defending our own personal property rights to the demise of pot dispensaries in Reading. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Toledo, we go freezing through town. Bet your woman is up in bed with old Panama Red. The judges don't know when Red's in town. He keeps well hidden underground. Everybody's
it's not how many hours we put in. It's how we put in the hours. It's not just how well we know our clients. It's how well we know their case. It's not just the years of experience or a reputation. It's about results. Results you can expect with knowledge of the law, community recognition, and assertive representation you can count on. The Law Office of Lucky Jesrani. Call today, 241-3350, 241-3350.
Granite has stood the test of time, depicting beauty and durability. At Estate Granite, we work with you to provide your home with beauty, durability, and increasing its value. Your home is your castle. So trust our old-world craftsmen who pride themselves on the details, using the latest and newest technology, ensuring quality and style at a price you can afford. Estate Granite, our reputation is carved in stone. Call them today, 241-7866, estategranite.com.
This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Linda Bot. Linda's on assignment today, 8:12 in the morning on November the 16th. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, and we're chatting, and Sheriff Tom Basinko is our guest, and Sheriff Tom is also on the chat room. You know, why don't you just run the board, too, while you're here,
just
Tom?
Just about. I multitask.
Okay. Let's talk about the latest decision on, you know, I mean, even though you're in the county and the sheriff, but the latest decision by the city council to ban pot dispensaries due to the fact they can't regulate them.
I think that was a good decision. It's based on a third appellate court decision out of the Long Beach area that said that cities and counties have the ability to inability. They cannot license them or permit them because it's in conflict with federal law. And federal law says that marijuana is illegal. And while we've had the Compassionate Use Act 215 since 1996, about 25 years, it is still illegal. And the confusion came about under the current administration. The Attorney General came out and said, the states are basically in compliance with the Compassionate Use Act or medical marijuana laws, we're not going to bother them. And that's when you saw this huge eruption of collectives, distributorships, backyard growing explode more than it already had been. Then about a year ago, James Cole, who is a U.S. attorney, came out with was referred to as the Cole memo, and said, no, this is illegal federally, and we're going to enforce federal law. And that's when you saw the DEA and then most of the U.S. attorneys in California start sending letters to collectives and saying, hey, we're going to shut you down.
Okay. We got a caller. John, good morning. Welcome back, John.
Good morning, Carl. Thank you. Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Very good. And yourself, John?
I'm doing good. Listen, there is some confusion about the court finding on the pot thing, the marijuana collective issues, and from what I understand is that the action that was taken in court was in regards to the profiteering of these collectives, not actually their legality, and that if they were exceeding the limits of their 501(c) concept, that they had to shut down, and that there was still a way for the local governments to manage these things and to create plausible ways for them to operate. Are you familiar with this?
I am not. I have not heard that part of an argument regarding the appellate court decision, at least on the Long Beach decision. The counties and cities, from my understanding of the law, counties and cities are able to regulate land use and business use issues. That's coming before the Board of Supervisors here pretty soon for Shasta County issues. And then out of the Long Beach decision, they were saying that basically a city cannot regulate or license businesses that are illegal under federal law, and then that was appealed to the appellate court, third appellate court, and the appellate court said, no, you can't do that. And so that's
that
where these
start.
And City of Sacramento recently took action not to, they put a freeze on any permitting or allowing of collectives or dispensaries until this is maybe further resolved. It's being appealed to the California Supreme Court. We'll see if they take it up or not. And then, of course, we have our local issues here where the City of Redding took action to not license them or ban them. And then in a recent action by the Shasta County Planning Commission, an ordinance will be coming before the Board of Supervisors in December to ban or not allow collectives in Shasta, the unincorporated area of Shasta County, and then also a restriction on land use for the cultivation of medical marijuana.
Okay, can I ask one other thing, and then I'm going to bail?
Certainly.
Because I got to get going. I got to go to that trial today. But coincidental to these actions being taken, there was 134 of the gang and drug task force-related groups being defunded by the state government at this specific time, out of the 168 or something there are?
That's correct.
This just seems incredibly coincidental to putting pot back on the street in the hands of probable gang members.
Kind of
defunding that.
A little bit of apples and oranges, because one didn't have anything to do with the other. The through the budget process, the governor ended up cutting $72 million from the California Attorney General's budget for the Division of Law Enforcement, Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement, B&E as we refer to them, and that ended up in resulting in many B&E commanded task forces throughout the state being shut down, Redding being one of them. B&E oversees and works with Shasta Interagency Narcotics Task Force. That does not mean that the CINTIF is going to go away. Just before Chief Hansen retired, he sits on the board along with myself and others. We've made a commitment to keep CINTIF going through local command, because we know that drugs are an issue here in our community and it's part of public safety, and so we'll keep CINTIF going as long as we can, as long as there's funding. The majority of the funding comes through federal grants.
That's a relief.
Yes.
Listen, could you, as I get off here, can you, and I won't be involved in this on the air, but can you give us an update on how the reopening of the jail floor is going?
The floor is ready to go. Since we closed it in 2009 due to budget restrictions, the concessions that had to be made, cuts, we've went through and spruced it up, painted it, maintained it, got it going to where it's all ready to go, and now we're in the process of hiring correctional officers and service officers. We get those people on board, get them trained, and we hope to open in the spring for the beds.
Now, Great news.
Yes.
Thanks,
now, that
Tom.
Won't solve all the problems, because
we were doing
releases before that, and then in the L.A. Times today, many of the sheriffs are saying, hey, we're going to be overcrowded in a month or so. Sheriff Lee Baca in L.A., Kern County Sheriff, Orange County Sheriff, they don't have the room, because they're also expecting looking at the numbers, we're getting more prisoners back statewide than had been anticipated, or the numbers coming from the state.
Are you getting a directive from the CDC or from the state and CDC concerning the not sending parolees back?
Well, that's part of law. Parolees will end up doing their time for parole violations here in the county jail or rented bed space. There's not really
under
any,
all circumstances, Tom?
Not all, but under most, excuse me, if like say a technical violation where one of them tests dirty positive for drugs, then that would end up being a county time service of their parole. There has to be a new crime to basically send them back to prison.
So they can do anything, John, that they can. Well, they used to pop them for and send them back for a drug or alcohol or something relatively minor. They would send them back to the prisons. Now they stay here, and it's got to be a brand new. It's got to be a brand new offense before they have to go back.
Tom, just roughly how many
parole
violators are there every month?
We get about 30 back. Well, I don't know about violators of actual technical violations. I'd have to get that number from you. But we have about 30 we're getting back from prison every month.
Wow. We're in for a mess.
Yes. Okay, John. Hey, John, thanks a lot. We've got to take
thanks
a break
a lot.
Here.
Bye.
You bet. Our guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko. With the realignment going on, with the jails filling up already, I saw that also, Sheriff, about Los Angeles said that by December that they were filled up completely. They're going to be filled up like completely. And then what do you do then?
Then you end up with having releases.
More people
and
again.
That's exactly what Sheriff Bach has been saying and many other sheriffs. They're full. They're going to have to do releases. And then there's some mandates, maybe use home electronic monitoring. We're going to be doing that as well, expanding our work release programs. We're going to be doing that. But you still need staff, and you need people to do it, and you still need bed space because there are going to be those people that still don't comply
They
with
don't
the rules.
Get it.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Got to take a quick break here. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, 8:20 in the morning. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Shasta Regional Medical Center's Turkey Trot is coming. Trot on down to Shasta Regional Medical Center, Fleet Feet, or Shasta Family YMCA to register. Or visit ShastaRegional.com and register online. The whole family can join in on the fun at the Turkey Trot on Thanksgiving morning. There's the Diesel Horse Dash for the little gobblers 8 years and under, the 2 mile walk fun run for the entire family, and for the more serious runner, the timed 6 mile race. Register by November 15th to guarantee a sweatshirt in your size. Shasta Regional Medical Center's Couch to Turkey Trot is on. Start off your Thanksgiving day with a family tradition the whole family will enjoy. And be sure to enter the Couch to Turkey Trot drawing for a free $500 gift certificate for a couch at Kubler's Furniture. Trot on down and register today at Shasta Regional Medical Center, Fleet Feet, or Shasta Family YMCA. All proceeds from the Turkey Trot will benefit Shasta Family YMCA, plus one mentors, Shasta Family Justice Center, and Girls on the Run. For more questions, go to ShastaRegional.com.
You want to go to Wind River, but you don't want to miss the game. We know that. That's why we gave you the best of both worlds with our recently opened Overtime Sports Bar and Lounge. Now between bingo and blackjack, you can grab a bite and check out the game at Overtime Sports Bar and Lounge. We've got everything you need to be the entertainment guru for your group, starting with the Early Bird Happy Hour from 4 to 6. Sports on TV all day long. Now, we didn't forget about the ladies. Overtime Sports Bar and Grill has a kickin' DJ. So while you're having a frosty cold one, she can boot scoot and boogie all night long. Don't worry, guys, you can still see the TVs from the dance floor. Sunday games are back and more awesome than ever. A cut above the rest with a player in mind. Be one of the few privileged to catch your favorite team every Sunday at Overtime Sports Bar and Lounge and in the River's Edge Poker Room. Never miss another play. Sunday games at Wind River Casino. Log on to WindRiver.com. Check us out on Facebook. It's better on the river.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR1460. Carl and the Bot. Linda's on assignment, 8:23 in the morning, November the 16th. It is 43 degrees out there. Our guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko. Sheriff Basenko, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, You know what? We always appreciate you coming in here, Cole. Get those updates and get the latest on this. You know, we've just been talking about the essentially the banning of the marijuana dispensaries mm-hmm. and an impact that could have. And the realignment. One of the things you've been involved in though lately has been the Defend Rural America meeting that they had up in Siskiyou County at Yreka.
Right.
Over 800 people showed up, and what was it? Ten.
Eight or ten sheriffs. There were sheriffs from Trinity, Siskiyou, Lassen, Plumas, Tehama, Shasta, Grant County, which is around John Day area,
mm-hmm.
and then the other one from drawing a blank, but basically it's Cave Junction area. He was unable to attend as he was away out of the area. So, but he's been involved as well.
Right. And so Southern Oregon, Northern California.
Right.
Sheriffs. What is your take on what was happening up there?
Part of this is that Sheriff Lopey there has a great concern for the economic well-being of the county and the way that some federal government agencies are coming into the county and being very restrictive to his citizens as to water rights and water usage. And this goes to the economic well-being of the county, as we saw forest lands basically being shut down for forest harvests, at least in his county he has seen that. And then they're wanting to remove, I think, three or four dams at the tune of, some of the information was put out, like $3 or $4 billion for the to improve the river for coho salmon, which are allegedly not native to the
to that region.
So these are a big concern because those dams generate power, goes to the economy of the county, and then also for irrigation purposes for agriculture up in the county, which is huge in Siskiyou County. And those are a very big concern to him, and he's trying to protect his citizens' rights and the economic well-being of the county as well in working with supervisors. There were a number of Siskiyou County supervisors there as well.
Now, does that have an impact on Shasta County?
We believe that in the other sheriffs and many county officials do believe that it can have an impact, because we're looking at Siskiyou County as potentially being ground zero for this. And if the federal government is able to do this to Siskiyou County, it could be picking off the smaller counties one by one for these restrictions. We've seen the U.S. Forest Service Travel Management Plan be very restrictive for public lands in shutting people out or trying to shut people out of public lands that we, the taxpayers, can enjoy. And here in Shasta County, it's actually working quite well of the county and the U.S. Forest Service being involved in the coordination process, and the Board of Supervisors enacted that in 2010, March of 2010. And our public works director has done an extensive and very meticulous review of the roadways they wanted to shut down. And now, finally, the U.S. Forest Service saying, hey, we'll take a look at that. We get it, and we think that we can come to a compromise, if you will, and mitigate some of these impacts. So it's moving along fairly smoothly so far in Shasta County. We've not seen that in some of the other counties.
Okay, Bob?
Tom, back in my days as a reporter, I heard time and time again that Northern California had a extremely high level of cooperation between local and federal authorities that was almost unheard of in other areas. In other words, there wasn't these huge turf wars. Has that climate changed in the last several years?
As far as law enforcement, no. Law enforcement, we do enjoy a very good collaborative partnership. We work very closely with Forest Service on marijuana issues and National Park Service on marijuana issues, and of course local law enforcement, we have a great relationship. However, I am critical of U.S. Forest Service and some of the other land agencies like BLM. They really don't address illegal marijuana growing on their lands. They don't provide any funding for us here in Shasta County to try and keep that in check, yet we still do. And Forest Service, they rely on our efforts a lot, even though they might have a team or a few people to work with us. Mainly it still falls back on the county sheriff. And then they don't do any reclamation, reclaiming the trash and stuff off of their public lands, and then restoration, which goes to the environmental damage that
marijuana growers do to the land.
You know, the one of the things you said, and we've just got a couple minutes for the break, Tom, is the moving, how the coordination between the county and the Trinity National Forest is moving forward. But my take on this is that she had shut down everybody, the director of the forest, and then it's now she's been forced into something where she says that we'll take a look at it, but Aren't the roads still closed, or have they reopened them?
The roads, under my understanding, are not closed. That was a proposal by Ms. Hayward for the Shasta Trinity National Forest, and we have since come back. We, the county, has come back and said, hey, let's take a look at these roads. So it's a process called coordination.
Right.
It's spelled out in the National Environmental Program Act, NEPA, and they have to coordinate when they come up with these ideas that can impact public safety and economics of the county and stuff. That's what we're working through right now. We, as a county, it's being handled by the Board of Supervisors and our Public Works Director.
I know that
of course,
the City of Reading
Council.
Yeah. City of Reading came in on it, too, because
they did.
Of that. And it was good to see the City of Reading and the county.
Basically, it can
together.
Be any governmental agency or elected official. It can be a school district could weigh in on it if they had a nexus to it and want to get involved. Or independent elected officials can. It can be a district attorney. It can be the sheriff. It can be all a combination of them.
Okay.
We got about 30 seconds.
You know, we'll take a break. You know, Tom, when we come back, I want to talk about, you know, when we talk about the county sheriffs, let's talk about the power the county sheriffs mm-hmm. have. I don't think people realize just how powerful our local sheriff is. Carl Great. Lindebott, Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460 on with Free Fire Media. It's 8:30 in the morning. Join us after the news.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. The national debt is about to hit $15 trillion and counting. The super committee assigned to recommend more than $1 trillion in debt reduction has a deadline of next Wednesday. But some members of Congress from both parties are pessimistic, although one Republican is holding out hope.
We want to get something done, so we're going to just keep trying to the final hour.
Congressman Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, a Democratic leader, says there's too much resistance to new taxes.
I've not seen indication that Republicans are willing to agree to this balanced approach.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, Democrats say Republican ideas lack real added revenue. President Obama continuing his tour of Australia, where he plans to add to our military presence.
250 Marines growing eventually to 2,500. The White House admits China's rise is partly behind this.
Fox News Radio's Mike Makowicz in Canberra. The president flies north to Darwin, Australia in a matter of hours to visit a U.S. military installation. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Attention, this is a special announcement. You can bring in this new year with Anselmo Vineyards at their elegant Black Tie Gala. Join us for an evening of fine dining, dancing, and casino royale. Truly a once-in-a-lifetime celebration. Need transportation? Package includes round-trip travel from the Red Lion Hotel, plus hors d'oeuvres and a wine reception at beautiful Anselmo Vineyards upon your arrival. A spectacular six-course meal paired with exquisite wines from our world-renowned chef. Door prizes, a silent auction, casino tables, and did I mention the 18-piece orchestra for your dancing pleasure? Truly the party of the year. To reserve your seat for this special New Year's Eve event, call 474-5546. That's 474-5546. And dance in the new year. Reserve early. First 100 attendees will get the special price of $195 per person. Imagine celebrating New Year's Eve in the most beautiful setting in the North State, Anselmo Vineyards. To make your memory at the Gala of the Year, that's 474-5546, Anselmo Vineyards.
Wow, I love your new place. It's so stylish.
Okay, I'll let you in on a little secret. I get all my furniture at the Home Consignment Depot.
Really? This dining set? The entertainment center? The sofa?
Yeah, and all the accessories and art, too.
The Home Consignment Depot? Where are they located?
They're at 1313 Hartnell Avenue, between Churn Creek and Victor, you know, next to Tile City. They've got quality furniture for the home and office at prices you can afford. It's definitely the spot to shop for furniture, with new arrivals daily, and they offer an excellent consignment service.
Consignment? How does it work?
It's easy. They sell your quality furniture and send you a check. I received more for mine than if I sold it myself, without the hassles and costs of running an ad.
They sell your quality furniture and accessories and send you the check?
Right. They also offer a pickup and delivery service. They accept all forms of payment and they're open 7 days a week.
That's good to know.
If I were you, I'd visit their showroom today or call 722-0635. The Home Consignment Depot. It's definitely the spot to shop.
1313 Hartnell Avenue between Sharon Creek and Victor or call 722-0635.
Join the conversation in our chat room. KCNR1460.com.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. I'm a Free Fire Media and Carl in about 8:33 in the morning, November the 16th. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. That's right, Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Go down and get a great haircut, a great price, take a step back in time. Veterans get discounts. You walk in, and it is just a nice place to sit down and relax and then get a great haircut. Shave around your neck and ears. How many places do that still? They do, and they give discounts to veterans, and you can't ask for more than that. It's man's last stronghold. What can I say? Man's last stronghold. Go on down. Have a great haircut, and, you know, when's the last time you just went down to have a haircut and you had a good time, you know, at the same place? Anyway, that Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Okay, our guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko, and, Sheriff, we've been talking about the Defend Rural America. We've been talking about the realignment, talking about the banning of marijuana, and we've got a phone call. Jim, good morning. You have a question for...
Hey, good morning. I do. I do have a question. Tom, I've read a lot of seemingly a lot of robberies and even shootings, not just in Shasta County, but throughout the North State since the passage of the Medical Marijuana Initiative, and I'm just wondering if you had a take on that and if it has indeed gone up, that kind of activity, and if you know how much.
I don't know how much. Some of the activity recently has been tied to medical marijuana issues, where we've seen in the city of Reading a number of robberies of these collectives. We've also seen for medical marijuana grows in the county some shootings and home invasions. We just investigated one. It ended up in a stabbing where a number of people were representing or impersonating law enforcement, and they were doing, quote, a raid, and then the guy said, hey, these aren't law enforcement officers, and ended up resisting, and they ended up being stabbed. We just got that person back in custody from being out of state. So some of it is tied directly to drug-related activity, including medical marijuana.
I think that's something that attended. I mean, I've read about it in the press, so it is being covered, but I don't see it emphasized. I don't see people putting two and two together.
If there's going to be money there, it's going to be a potential for crime to be there, especially as we've seen gold prices go up. We've seen more residential burglaries. We've seen more theft of gold. Sure. We've seen the theft of scrap metal as those prices go up. So if the crooks can try and make a buck on it, that's what they're going to do is steal stuff and then still do their trade.
Well, I thank you very much, and I thank you for your service, sir. God bless you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jim, for your phone call. Hey, and speaking of service there, Sheriff,
yes.
The amount of power that a county sheriff has, you know, we haven't talked about this in a long time. I mean, you know, people talk about, you know, well, it's the sheriff's office. Well, the sheriff's office swings a pretty big stick in the state, doesn't it?
Actually, nationwide, where they have county sheriffs. In some places, counties are called parishes, but it's the same thing. And the sheriff's office actually dates back over 1,000 years back to England, where it was a sheriff. And yes, here in counties, the county is the chief law enforcement officer, and for countywide, even has authority within the incorporated cities. Generally, like City of Reading, their jurisdiction is handled by the Reading Police Department. But Reading officers actually have to have permission, if you will, to do law enforcement in the county. And we share that because we work on task forces and stuff, and that's granted. Also, the federal government cannot enforce state laws on or off federal land unless it's granted by the sheriff. And in some cases, like with the U.S. Forest Service, they have state officer powers to when they're assisting us, like in marijuana grows and different things like that. So, and that's up to the sheriff to grant that.
So you can keep the feds off of state land, off county land?
Not necessarily off, but they can't use state laws. They even if they're a law enforcement officer, they can't use state laws to enforce it because they don't have the authority.
Okay, they can use a federal law, though.
If they're they can use a federal law on federal land.
On federal land.
Their jurisdiction is extremely limited. And so that's where some of these authorities of the sheriff comes in. The sheriff and the chief of police can issue concealed weapons permits, but the sheriff can issue them for an entire county. So theoretically, if the city police chief does not issue, they could come over to the county sheriff, and the sheriff could issue a permit that is good for the entire state of California.
I know, and the and that's one of the things that I just, of all things, we were looking at C-SPAN the other day when they were having the national concealed carry debate. I think they voted on it. I don't know what happened on that.
That will probably fail because it takes away the discretion of sheriffs and chiefs because we don't know, we as a sheriff, or we call them issuing authorities, we as an issuing authority do not know what other state standards are or what they've done to vet that person to have a CCW to carry nationwide. And I know that many sheriffs and chiefs are opposed to just a nationwide carry, and that would get back into the federal government imposing some issues on states' rights.
Okay, so you see this as a states' rights issue.
It could be, absolutely.
Isn't it funny how the Obama administration will oppose something and say it's states' rights and then will impose other things that that takes away the state's right to make a decision on this?
It's interesting. It's this it may not just be this administration.
Oh, no,
it could be, others.
He's
the
now.
One that's in office, right? And, you know, we see a lot of these things with gun control popping up with a whole lot of, no pun intended, gun control issues being a front burner issue now, especially after a number of violence. But California has one of the most restrictive gun control, a lot of gun laws on the books, as does New York, Chicago, Washington, D.C., yet they have a very high gun violence crime in those cities or those states as well.
Are you comfortable with your with the concealed carry? How your office handles that in issuing?
There's a multi-page, I want to say like 20-page application that's mandated by the state. There's a series of questions on that they have to answer. We do local checks. They have to be fingerprinted, which then gets run through a database at the state to make sure they're not necessarily a crime somewhere else, that they're a restricted person. And then we also have an interview with the person and seeing if they are of good moral character. That's specified right in the law. They have to be of good moral turpitude and basically a law-abiding citizen. And then it's up to the sheriff or the issuing authority to issue then.
Also,
so I am comfortable with it.
Yes. Also a citizen of the United States.
In their state law, it is not mandated that you be a citizen to have a CCW, but many issuing authorities and myself do have it as a requirement that you have to be a citizen. It's a little bit harder to vet somebody who is here legally and has a visa and to check a lot of those foreign databases to see if they're a criminal.
Right.
I wouldn't want to issue a CCW to a person that 3 months from now ends up in a terrorist action against somebody or using it for a political statement to injure someone.
No, I understand that. I mean,
right.
You can't check their background if
right.
they're not a citizen here. Okay, we got to take a quick break here. Our guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko. We've been talking about Defend Rural America. We've been talking realignment. We've been talking pot dispensaries and just how much power a county sheriff does have. Carl in the body, 42 in the morning, November the 16th. This is KCNR 1460.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Like your turkey deep fried? Well, just for the holidays, you can take the unused cooking oil to the City of Reading Household Hazardous Waste Facility. Don't pour the oil down the drain or put it in the trash. Pour the cooled oil back in the jugs it came in and take it to the City of Reading Transfer Station at 2255 Abernathy Lane. They can take cooking oil Tuesday through Saturday between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. through January 15th. For more information, you can call 224-6201. And enjoy that turkey.
Hey, Rick, what are you doing?
Howdy, neighbor. Blowing my leaves into the storm drain.
Well, that's the wrong way to get rid of them.
All the neighbors do it. No one's going to care.
Well, no one except for the person that has to unclog the storm drain.
Oh.
Dumping or blowing your leaves in the street will plug our storm drains and can cause flooding when it rains.
How'd you get so smart?
It's true. Leaves and debris plug the storm drains. Pick them up and put them in the green waste bin. This is a public service announcement from Reading Public Works.
Have you been thinking about installing solar power system for your home or office? Maybe you looked into solar power a couple of years ago and thought it was way too expensive. Hi, I'm Dennis Patterson with West Coast Sustainables, and I have great news. The cost of a solar power system has dropped dramatically in the last 2 years, and the federal tax credits have increased to 30% of the cost of a system. Now is a great time to give solar a closer look. The news is full of warnings about the cost of energy going up soon, and the best way to keep your cost of energy cheap and stable is installing solar power. If you talk to us, we answer all of your questions, explain how solar works, and how it will affect your monthly bill. For a free in-home consultation, please give us a call, 524-9652, or email Dennis at westcoastsustainables.com.
What is excellence? What is professionalism? What is a quality windshield repair? At Crackmaster, you will see the difference. Crackmaster has been serving the North State for over 18 years. From rock chips to cracks, a quality repair done right saves time and money. Crackmaster is the leader in windshield repair, and with an experienced, specialized approach, Crackmaster performs to the industry standards. You have a choice. Crackmaster, 241-8373. 241-8373.
This is Free Fire Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Home of Free Fire Radio and Carl Linda Bot, 8:45 in the morning. Linda's on assignment. November the 16th. It is 42 degrees. What's it going to be out like there today, Bad Bomb?
Well, a little bit of sunshine this morning. Enjoy it while you can. We'll have a high of 64 today, but then the clouds will be moving in tonight. 30% chance of rain after 10 p.m., and then mostly cloudy. Tonight's low should be about 45 degrees. Rain is likely tomorrow, mostly after 10 in the morning, and then a high right near 60, and scattered showers. We're not looking for a lot of moisture out of this particular weather system, but it will be kind of dank and dreary. Currently, it is 48 degrees in Reading, and the weather always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
Okay, thanks a lot. Anselmo Vineyards will have Holiday, I think, out there this weekend, and they're going to be 474-5546 for reservations, and of course, getting ready for the big New Year's Eve gala out there. So you need to call in out there and get those tickets too. Our guest, Sheriff Tom Basenko, who is not only has his face in the microphone, the earphones on his on his ears, but he's also talking. He's also chatting with our chat pack in here. So you're a multitasker here,
yes.
Sheriff. You know, new police chief.
Yes, Robert Paletti, chief of police. Great guy. I was honored to be on the selection, one of the selection committees for him with some of the other citizens in our community. Comes from Stockton, California. He was a patrol captain there. Great background. And also, personally thank him and already have for his service to our nation's armed forces. He's a in the Army Reserve with part of the MP group, and I believe a major. I can't remember.
Lieutenant Colonel. With, mm-hmm. I think he's got two tours over in Iraq.
Yes, he does. So he brings a lot of depth of experience. And, of course, Stockton has a lot of gang activity, so he's really familiar with that. And he wants to get out, and he's going to be very busy over the next few months, getting out and meeting the people, going to civic groups, listening to them, and seeing what's a concern and of importance to them and their community. So he can get a good handle of what's going on here so then he can make adjustments to the organization if necessary to respond to those concerns.
I believe he has swearing-in ceremonies today.
He does. At 11 o'clock. I'll be attending that.
At the city council chambers?
At the city halls at city council chambers.
Yeah.
He'll be swearing in. He has a nice family. I've met his wife, and then he'll be relocating here. He lives here right now, but then they're looking for a home and everything. But a very nice guy, and I think city and our citizens, and I know local law enforcement will be very, very pleased with him. Very, very nice man.
Well, he was on our show last Thursday, November 10th, of course, Marine Corps birthday, and Linda had mentioned that, you know, you ought to come to the birthday ball. And he did.
Yeah.
And he came through, he was introduced, and he went to every table, and there was a lot of tables, there were like 200 people there, and introduced himself to every table. And I thought, you know what, this is a way to get to know people and to, you know, hey, we got a new chief of police in town, and we're going to miss the last, of course.
Yep.
And but we've got a new chief in town, and it's and he wants to get out in the community.
He wants to
find out what's going on.
Him and Chief Hansen attended the Veterans Day ceremony at the cemetery. And he's been getting out Marine Corps birthday. I was up in Bernie at the Marine Corps birthday up there. And so saying thanks to our vets also. But I think the city and the citizens will really enjoy having this chief, not taking anything away from Chief Hansen.
No, not taking anything away from Chief
very
Hansen.
Very distinguished career, and I loved working with Chief Hansen.
Part of the problem with being out of the news loop, I didn't even know that Anderson had a new top cop. Can you tell us about the new chief down in Anderson?
Chief Webb is on leave right now, and the new interim chief has been there for a number of months, I think almost a year now. He's retired Northern Division CHP Chief Sean Watts, and he's an interim chief, and so they're waiting to see if Chief Webb will come back or if they'll do an announcement and look for a new chief recruitment. Not quite sure, but Chief Watts is an interim chief.
Okay. Is this a health thing? Or?
Don't know.
Okay, hey, we're going to take a quick break, come back. I want to talk about what the sheriff sees as in the near future right here. You know, we've had, like, this uptick of violence we've had over the last couple months, something we're going to be looking at here coming into the new year. Is this going to continue? I know I know you don't have a crystal ball, but just tell us what you know, when we come back, what you really think is going to be happening here, Sheriff. Carl and the Bot, it is 8:50 in the morning. This is KCNR 1460. This is Free Fire Radio, and miss a day, miss a lot.
Come into Bibles, Books, and More, the Good Book Store at 2025 Hilltop Drive near the corner of Mistletoe and Hilltop. Locally owned and operated since 2007, personalized customer service is our specialty. Here at Bibles, Books, and More, we offer on-site Bible imprinting and mail-to-jail services. Special orders are no problem at Bibles, Books, and More, the Good Book Store at 2025 Hilltop Drive.
Hello, this is Dr. Doug Craig, sponsor and host of Wake Up Call on KCNR every Sunday at 10 a.m. For over 23 years, I have maintained a clinical psychology practice in Reading, specializing in the assessment and treatment of mood, anxiety, and attention disorders in children, adolescents, and adults. ADHD is one of the most common childhood disorders and can continue through adolescence and adulthood. Individuals with ADHD suffer with a neurologically based motivation disorder. While they can focus on things they find interesting, they have difficulty motivating themselves to concentrate on things they find boring, like chores or homework. Individuals with ADHD are easily distracted, disorganized, forgetful, and inattentive. If you have any questions about this or want to learn more, give me a call at 246-7062.
Hello, folks. I'm Bob, the Mount Shasta Springwater Drop. It's no wonder that Mount Shasta Springwater is the preferred choice here in Northern California and Southern Oregon. It's natural, it tastes good, and it's healthy for you. If you are not drinking Mount Shasta Springwater, you owe it to yourself to give it a try. Give us a call at 1-800-922-6227 and start enjoying the refreshing taste of Mount Shasta Springwater today. When you call, tell them you want the Bob the Drop special. Mount Shasta Springwater, naturally the best.
Hi, I'm Dennis Miller. Join me Monday through Friday from 9 to noon on KCNR 1460 AM.
No, I won't back down.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl in the body, 8:52 in the morning. Linda's on assignment. Be back tomorrow, November the 16th. Guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley do great things for our community. They support the veterans. They support other community causes. Espresso Joe's has got the best coffee in the morning at the greatest prices. The girls will fix any type of latte or any type of holiday drink that you want there. And, of course, the finest walk-in humidor in the state for those special cigars. And it's getting around those, you know, gift-giving times. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Our guest, Sheriff Tom Basenko. And, Tom, you know, we've seen violence, and we've alluded to it here, different kinds. It's been a big uptick. We've got the shootings, assaults in this. None of them are, of course, as we've talked about, none of them are that we can find a thread that goes through all of them.
Correct.
But what do you look at happening here in the future? Is this going to continue or going to get worse?
There has been a serious uptick in violence here, at least in Shasta County. And we don't know particularly why. Some of them have been felons fleeing from officers, and then that flight comes to a fight and then an attempt to overtake the officer and either kill them or do great bodily injury to them. And we've seen that in several cases. Many of them, the suspects had alcohol or drugs on board or both. And that can be somewhat of a common thread there, if you will. But we don't know why the big uptick here recently. The officers are well-trained, and they've been doing their job, and none of them want to go to work and think, I'm going to end up taking someone's life today. That certainly can happen, but they don't go to work thinking that they are going to do that. So that's a concern that they're caring for their own safety, their brother and sister officers' safety, and, of course, the public safety.
How's the deputy that was injured in that altercation last month?
The one up off of Oasis Road, I-5 and Oasis,
right.
He has returned to duty. He's had the staples removed and is working. And then the officer that was involved in the shooting has also been returned to work, as well as our one deputy who was involved in a shooting up in Castella, with CHP over a long pursuit, and he has returned to work as well. That case and the one in Castella is being prosecuted by the district attorney's office. That person is in custody in the jail, and he was shot and wounded and is there in the jail recovering from his injuries. And then these two cases are submitted to the district attorney's office, obviously the ones being prosecuted, and the district attorney's office is still reviewing the one at I-5 and Oasis.
Well, having had numerous staples inserted into my body, I can tell you that in itself is when they're stapling you is quite
it was quite
interesting.
When I got
and having them pulled afterwards.
Yeah, when I got the phone call from my staff, I said, okay, it was about 10:30 at night. And said, all right, I'm going to I'll be saddling up and going into the hospital to visit with the officer and his family. And then the rest of my staff had the incident under control at the command post, and so was there, and then later briefed with my staff once they got things under control and settled at that one scene there. But I visited with the officer for an extended time, then spoke with his family as well.
Good. Well, we're glad that they're back to duty.
Yeah.
And that they're okay. You know, just a few minutes left. You know, people will talk about the perfect storm type mm-hmm. thing. Do you see the danger of that?
I think that is. You're seeing jails that are at maximum capacity, overcrowding, having to do release of hundreds, if not thousands, of prisoners statewide. You're seeing the prisons release tens of thousands of people statewide. You're seeing cities and counties struggling financially, and as a result, officers have been laid off all over the place. In Oakland, over 80 officers laid off. San Jose, and most of these are crime centers as well. Los Angeles had a downturn, and then we saw it here in Shasta County in 2009. We ended up laying off 25 positions, and I think about 10 or 11 of those were deputy sheriffs, and we lost 45 positions total. And our street level cops are at a dangerously low level. I'm very concerned for my staff every day, every shift. You don't want to receive that phone call. That's a very dreaded phone call. Know that one of your officers have been hurt or worse, killed. And City of Reading has seen layoffs of their officers. So I think there's a combination of less officers on the street, more criminals being let out, doing more crime, and that's going to cause the perfect storm for a lot of potential more crime and more violence.
Well, I think we've been really fortunate. I mean, even though with this uptick in violence, mm-hmm. that we haven't seen, at least it hasn't hit the surface where you're seeing average Joe Q citizen walking down the street and getting whacked and being robbed like this. Or is it just below the surface and we haven't seen
it? The police department and the sheriff's office, we report on those. You do see where there's been stabbings. There was a murder up north of town. The city was investigating of an individual, and they got that person arrested.
Right.
We've seen robberies in town, and this usually we say that this is the season, tis the season. We usually see an uptick in robberies at this time of year, too, coming into the holiday season. So, yeah, watch the paper, and those things are reported there.
Okay. All right, Sheriff Thomas Sinkle, thank you so much for being with us.
9 o'clock already.
Yeah, it is. You know, tomorrow on our show, we're going to have Christine Mitchell is going to be talking about Citizens for Progress. But also, this is that time of the year when the Good News Rescue Mission and Loaves and Fishes and other organizations like that are just working really hard to help those less fortunate. We're going to have them on tomorrow and talk about what they do in their organizations, what they do to help people, and what we can do to help our fellow citizens. That's tomorrow on KCNR 1460 and Free Fire Radio on Friday. We have Occupy Reading here. I want to talk to we're going to talk to their spokesman about what they hope to achieve here in Reading, and what their impact is here, along with the rest of the movement throughout the country. So that should be an interesting show as we find out just what it takes to occupy Reading. This is Carl Lindebottom, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys.
And you're listening to KCNR Shasta Reading.